Patrick Morley, who wrote the book Man in the Mirror, said one of the greatest reasons men get into trouble is that they don't have to answer to anyone in their lives. I'd like to suggest that maybe it would be a good step for us to take to become accountable to somebody. I mean, are we serious about being Christ followers, or do we simply like going through the motions and playing the games? When will we take a stand and break free from sin and temptation?
The Bible tells us that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And at no time is the mind more idle than when there is no one around to engage it. Hi everyone, this is Dave Dino. Today on The Tide, Pastor Dwayne Bodiger reveals the four times in life when we are most susceptible to sin. Being alone is one of them. But there are three others, and we'll begin today's lesson in just a few moments. First, though, let's join Dwayne for a few opening thoughts. Dwayne, temptation has become so pervasive in our culture, on television, at the movies, in the workplace, on the radio. I mean, it's easy to sometimes forget that it's even there. Many of us grow complacent, or we become desensitized. How does that hinder our ability to flee temptation?
We become desensitized to the danger that surrounds us because we are inundated with it. Everywhere we look, television, as you said, magazines, radio, newspaper, even news broadcasts, we are hearing news from a very biased perspective. And it is easy to get saturated with the sin of our culture and consider it norm, the normal. I think we have to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
What would you say is our best defense against temptation?
Well, I've always heard that the best defense is developing a good offense. I think perhaps the best way to develop a good offense is to stay saturated in the Scripture and sensitive to God's Spirit. He's the one who creates that sensitivity. He's the one who keeps that awareness of conviction and sin. Unless we begin to sense and see things as God sees them, we won't be aware of the reality of sin and its impact. So we need to stay saturated in truth and in his Spirit.
Friends, you want to learn more how to win when temptation sweeps in? Well, then stay tuned right now for Dwayne's message, Fleeing Temptation and Sin.
You will face temptation. The question is, will you create an awareness? Will you be ready when he speaks to you, when temptation comes? You see, you cannot afford to stop at that moment and try to make your decision. You cannot afford at that time to consider whether you're going to sin or not. You cannot afford to halt in that moment to decide what you're going to do. Let's use the word halt as an acronym to decide or to give you some advice today as to things you need to be aware of. H, hungry. When we are hungry physically, we become weak and tired, and often we are more susceptible when we are hungry to give in to our fleshly temptations. A, angry. Oh, when we get angry, how quick we can fall into sin. Be careful when you're angry to remove that anger quickly as possible. L, lonely. Oh, Satan loves to get us alone. If he can isolate us by ourselves, if there's nobody around, when we are lonely, both alone and lonely, we are very susceptible to temptation. And T, tired. You probably know as well as I do, when you are physically worn out, you are susceptible. Your defenses are worn down. There is a tendency to cave in. After a long day of work, you come home tired, and you're hungry, and you grab the remote to somehow get a little stimulation. Do you know what I'm saying? Be careful. The wise thing to do is to make sure that these issues are being cared for on a regular basis. that you're eating healthy meals, that you're not letting anger get a foothold in your life, that you're not allowing yourself to be lonely, you're developing relationships with other Christian brothers and sisters, and that you don't allow yourselves to go extended periods of time in being tired. Somebody has once said to me, the most spiritual thing you can do is sleep. Of course, it was applying to that particular situation. That doesn't mean you can go sleep all the time and be spiritual. Have you noticed that you can't get spiritual just by sleeping? But when we are tired, perhaps the most spiritual thing we can do is get some rest. Or maybe if we're hungry and worn out, get some rest and get some food. The next thing I want you to notice, know and keep your boundaries. It is so obvious in this story of Joseph that he knew what his boundaries were. Not only did he know them, but he kept them. There is a difference, you know. Many people have known what their boundaries should be. Unfortunately, many have not kept their boundaries. If you were given the opportunity that was presented to Joseph, would you fall immediately? Or would you continue to consider it for a couple of days? Imagine the growing temptation that was building in his mind. Day after day, she taunted him. We don't have to be too imaginary or imaginative to begin to imagine how she began to entice him. Nobody in the house, as she began to slink around in front of him, saying, "Come to bed with me." You don't have to go very far to imagining what it might have been like. But he knew what his boundaries were. And early on, when it came, he said, "No, I refuse." And even when confronted in a more serious way, he said, "How can I do this against God? How can I do this against my employer? Against my..." You put in the blank there. How can you do this? What are your boundaries? Where will you draw the line? What are your limits? You need to decide before you get there, because aroused passion has no conviction. Don't wait until things get hot and heavy to decide if you're going to stop. Because once the fire gets started, it's very likely you'll get burned. If you don't know where to draw the line, you will get burned. Consider your actions before you take the steps. What are the ramifications if you go ahead and fall into that temptation and sin? You see, often the enemy will say, "There's no consequence. Nobody will know." But I want you to know, if nobody else on this earth knows, God knows. But you also know that you cannot keep sin a secret. Scripture says very clearly that he will expose it. He will make it known. Sin will come back. It will be revealed. Even in the countenance, even in the attitude. You know what I'm talking about. If you've sinned against your children or sinned against your spouse, if you've sinned against your parents, there is this ugly feeling that comes over you. Guilt. There's something that changes in the atmosphere. The enemy has now had an opportunity to bring in his darkness and his depression. It settles on households like a deep, dark fog. Karen Maines, wife of David Maines, was telling a story about how when the children were young, they never had a TV, and they didn't have a TV in their home even all the way up through until they were married and gone. But after the children were gone, they decided to go ahead and purchase a TV. It wasn't long until they began to notice, and Karen's writing the story, she said, "I began to be enticed to get the remote and just begin checking what was on. And time began to be wasted, sucked in by the eyes to give time to the one-eyed God." After a bit, they began to realize this was something that was very wrong in their homes. It was breaking up a sense of unity in the presence of Christ. They talked about it and eventually decided to move that TV out of their upstairs down into the basement. And they even decided that just moving it into the basement was not enough. They literally took their TV and video and locked it up, that if they ever wanted to have to watch it, they'd literally have to go get a key to unlock it and get it out to watch something. The reason she did that is she said, because every day as I was getting finished with the day, I'd have to go through the TV room to get into the bedroom. And it became harder and harder to pass through that room without picking up the remote just to see what's on. Anybody been there, done that? Well, let's just check. Well, let's just see. Maybe there's something good to watch. But what ends up happening? That salesman called Satan slips up and grabs your eyeballs and draws you in. Where are you going to take your stand? I have been saying this over and over for the last period of weeks, months, and even the 2 years that I've been here. What do you watch that might grieve the Spirit of God? What would you be embarrassed to be watching if Jesus showed up in the room, or a church member, or even your spouse? If that would embarrass you, would it not be a wise consideration to make a decision to start eliminating that stuff from your life? Patrick Morley, who wrote the book Man in the Mirror, said one of the greatest reasons men get into trouble is that they don't have to answer to anyone in their lives. I'd like to suggest that maybe it would be a good step for us to take to become accountable to somebody, giving them permission to ask us hard questions at any time when they encounter us. Anytime they think of us, they could pick up the phone, send us an email, catch us in a hallway or in a parking lot and say, "Hey, how you doing with your thought life? How you doing with what you watch, what you look at? How you doing with what you read?" Just a suggestion. Don't throw any stones. I mean, are we serious about being Christ followers? Or do we simply like going through the motions and playing the games? When will we take a stand and break free from sin and temptation? When will we stop playing these wonderful Christians on Sunday morning and dressing up and smelling all good and pretty in church, but going home and watching detestable things that are dragging us down towards the pit? Do we not realize that we are stuck to that dead fish in that block of ice that will soon fall over that precipice and will be destroyed? What are you doing about what you watch, what you read, where you go, what you see? I want you to know next, you need to, like Joseph, take your stand and be ready to run. I'm sure those words that she had spoken so many times when she caught him in the hallway or in the room as he was cleaning or when he was carrying something out, those rude words had to be ringing in his ears. Come to bed with me. Come to bed with me. Here he is, a young, well-built, handsome man, celibate. Could you not imagine the moments when he was alone by himself? At night when he was crawling into bed, you don't have to imagine too much. Those thoughts were echoing in his mind. Every part of his body was thinking, oh, maybe, what if? But he was quick to say, no, no. And he took his stand, not only in his privacy, that's where it was solidified, but in public, he also took his stand. He refused to be enticed. Joseph had settled the issue. Paul wrote very clearly to us, 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee the evil desires. Pursue righteousness, faith, and peace. If you don't know what you will stand for, you will fall for anything. A shopkeeper noticed a little boy standing in front of this display of candies in his store. And he noticed that this boy was really captivated by the candy. And so he went up to the little boy and said, "Son, what are you going to do, steal some candy?" And the little boy looked back and said, "No, I'm trying not to." Now it's very obvious. If that boy is trying not to steal some candy, what should he do? Duh. Leave the area. Because the longer he stands there, the more he looks, the more he considers, the more he will compromise, the easier it will be to fall into sin. Make the application. Let's look at the word flee as an acronym. Flee. I hope this week when temptation comes to your mind, you will hear that word, you will see that word, maybe flashing in your eyes. Flee, flee, flee. You see, the Holy Spirit is faithful. Have you noticed how incredible that is? how faithful the Holy Spirit is. Every time temptation comes, the Holy Spirit is there to check you. I mean, the light begins to flash. Warning, warning, warning. The crossbar comes down. Ding, 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 ding. The flag is waving. Don't go there. Don't go there. The Holy Spirit is faithful. If we blow it, it is not because the Holy Spirit failed to warn us. If we blow it, it will be because we deliberately choose to stay there where we are. But He is calling us to flee. F, feel the danger. Listen to your conscience. He is warning you. Feel the danger. L, leave the area. Get out of there. Move. Leave the room. Drive a different way. Walk past a different aisle. Go through a different office. Drive home a different way. A friend of mine in San Diego was struggling so much with pornography. He would literally pass one of those adult porn shops on his way to work every day going and every day coming home. It was killing him because he struggled. He was in the military when he was younger, and so much pornography on the submarine that he was in. It was everywhere. And so it was just part of his life, and he needed a fix. He needed to stop, and it was like he said it was a battle every day that it was almost like the car would just turn automatically, and he'd find himself walking in and getting a fresh fix. And then he'd feel horrible, come home to his wife and feel disgusting. And so we talked about it, and he made a decision. He made a commitment. He said, even though it's farther, even though it will take longer, even though it will cost more gas money and more time, I will drive a different way to and from work. Hey, is that what it takes for you? Flee. Feel the danger, leave the area, experience God's pleasure. When you flee, when you get out of there, you'll begin to sense God's joy. And E, establish protection around you. Know your boundaries. We often enjoy the tantalizing enticement and the adrenaline rush of temptation, and we find ourselves susceptible to fall into sin. Number 7, remember God is with you no matter what happens. That sort of sounds like where we started, didn't it? Yeah, exactly right. God is with you no matter what happens. You see, you need to recognize that Christ is our strength to overcome. Do you know that God expects you to live above sin and temptation? How many of you know that? He expects you to live above sin and temptation. 1 John 2:1, I write this to you so you will not sin. 1 John 3:6, no one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. He continues, no one born of God will continue to sin. This is how we know the children of God, who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. John was on a roll. He's preaching about the believer living above sin. In 1 John 5:18, he said, we know that anyone born of God does not continue in sin. Folks, we've got to learn how to overcome. What is very clear to me is that if we are still falling over and over to temptation, falling into sin, we need to really evaluate whether, in fact, we're really saved, whether the presence and power of Christ is really in our hearts. You say, I'm struggling, but I want to follow Christ. I want to give you very quickly how to win when temptation sweeps in. Are you ready? You're going to have to write fast. Fire that thing up. Here we go. Understand you are in a battle and you will be tempted. That is part of preparing to overcome. Understand you are in a battle and you will be tempted. Number 2, think through the consequences of sin. That takes the sting out of temptation. If you think through the ramifications, most of the times, you won't even want to go there. If you are tempted with lust, sexual temptations, adultery, consider pregnancy, consider breaking up your home, consider what will happen to your children, consider the ramifications of your church. It takes the bite out of temptation. Number 3, admit your weakness and ask God for His help. All of us have weaknesses. All of us are susceptible. Don't assume that you are able to pick yourselves up by your own bootstraps. Ask God for help. 4, eat healthier foods and get needed rest. There are many, many articles available that talk about the impact of draining you when you eat wrong foods. Sugars give you an immediate high, an energy boost, but they drop you. You feel worse a little bit later after having a sugar rush than you did before eating something that has sugar in it. So start eating healthier foods, including your diet, fruits and whole, fresh vegetables. It will change the way you feel. I'm a living testimony to that. Get your rest when you need it. You need to make sure that you are ready for battle, because whether you like it or not, we are in a battle. 5, predetermine your boundaries and course of action. Know where they are. Know where you stop. Know where you retreat. Set your boundaries. 6, avoid areas or issues that arouse temptation. You know some things already that pique your interest. You know where that magazine rack is in that particular store when you have to go there to get supplies or groceries. You know at what particular time that show is on, and when you're surfing that channel, you saw that before. You know those things. So avoid areas and issues that create temptation. 7, establish accountability with another person. Get a brother or sister of the same gender and be willing to be transparent and say, I need help in this area. You can ask me questions at any time, how I'm doing. 8, stay connected to Christ. In other words, keep plugged into his power. He's the power source. It is discovered in a research that was done with Discipleship Journal that those who fail or struggle in their devotional life are much more susceptible to fall to sin and temptation. So it is a fact. You probably know it's a reality in your life. When you're having your devotions on a regular basis, in God's word and in prayer, you will overcome sin and temptation much more than if you're not having prayer or Bible reading. God just kind of pumps you up and gives you big tires. You just run right over stuff. 9, be ready for peer pressure or persecution for your stand. If you take your stand, I mean, the guys at the workplace may say, hey, have a beer at the party, at the annual meetings. Hey, go ahead, have a beer. What's the matter with you? Be ready to face the persecution. Be ready to face the pressure. It will come if you take your stand for Christ. If he faced persecution, won't we, if we are his followers? The answer is yes. And number 10, be ready to run at any time. Annie Dillard tells a story of being on an island where she noticed, as she was taking a walk, she came out by a body of water. She looked down in the water, and there was this small green frog there in the edge of the water. And she was kind of fascinated as she was watching it, but something began to happen right before her eyes that was just incredible. She said, after a bit, the skin just began to collapse like a deflated balloon. And after a bit, even the skull, the head, just crumbled, and all that was left was this little pile of skin. She said as she looked at it, she noticed that from behind it, something dark slipped off into the water and disappeared. She later discovered that it was one of those things called a giant water beetle. They feed on small frogs, small fish, and little reptiles and insects by the water. And what they do is they come up, and when you get behind one of these frogs or fish, they will catch it in its legs, and then it will inject its, whatever it has, a mouth, and it will push its poison into this body. The poison literally goes in and begins to decay all the tissue, flesh, bone, everything, the skull, and it will literally decay, and when it has crumbled and decayed, all it does is suck all the contents out. And when it has left it totally crumpled, empty, and dead, it slips off to find another victim. Do you see any correlation between Satan and us? How many times have we found ourselves trapped in his legs, finding ourselves dying inside? He sucks us spiritually dry and leaves us empty, wondering what in the world is going on. I'm calling you today to be a Joseph. I'm calling you to take your stand, know your boundaries, avoid sin. Flee. Draw your line.
Yes, the answer is in your hands. It's also in your feet. Remember, when we flee the devil, he flees from us as well. Now for some final thoughts. Let's join our director, Don Schenk, who is in studio with Dwayne. Fellas?
I would like to tell our listeners, I would like to remind our listeners about what we're doing in India right now. And I want to begin that by sharing some letters, some excerpts from some letters that we have received from India. Dwayne, why don't you share this one?
Okay, Don, this one says, yesterday I got a privilege to listen to your Sante Data program at my friend's house. I am anxious to learn more about Jesus Christ and his teachings. Now note this next line. Also pray for me that one day I would be able to purchase a radio of my own.
Well, Dwayne, here's a letter with a similar concept. Let me read this letter from India. I am a regular listener to your Navjivan and Apkeli programs. I've been so blessed by these programs that I started a radio club at my home where 25 young boys gather together to listen to the Word of God and songs through your radio program. Dwayne, these highlight a plight that many Indians face, and that is the fact that they do not have radios to listen to. They might share a radio in several households or a whole family where we might have a radio in each room. And to overcome this hurdle, we have started a project in India where we want to provide a shortwave radio in each village. So as these radios become available, our staff in India will place them in a village where there's a need. They'll have one person or family who will be appointed as a custodian of the radio, but it will be made available for anyone to listen to. We're hoping that we can get radios into as many villages as possible, because this project has the potential to greatly increase the number of people that we can reach for Christ. And it's a project that you, as our listener, can become directly involved in. And here's Dave with information on how you can help provide radios for the needy villagers in India.
Our goal here at The Tide is to preach the gospel in every village in India. Radio is the most effective and often the most successful method for doing so. Now, the only drawback is that those who don't own radios may never have the opportunity to hear the good news that we're broadcasting. That's why we're asking you to help us place shortwave radios in villages throughout India. Now, to find out more about how you can help make it possible for spiritually hungry people in India to hear about Jesus Christ, call us today toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. That number again, 1-877-859-5484. As always, today's program, Fleeing Temptation and Sin, is available for a gift of any size. To receive your copy, call us and ask for tape or CD number 0414, or send your request to The Tide, P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. In Canada, write to us at Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. For information about The Tide, or to hear an encore presentation of today's lesson, please visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now, ever had doubts about your faith? Ever come to a point where the one thing that you were sure of was that you weren't sure of anything? Well, if so, you'll want to join us next week for Dwayne's powerful series, Displacing Your Doubts. Until then, I'm Dave Vino, thanking you for tuning in to The Tide, a ministry that's touching hearts on shores worldwide.